What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. We have tons of tools to get you ready to smoke your buffoon league mates in our redraft rankings manifesto. Whether you're looking for our consensus tiered-based rankings, top 200s, and by position, fantasy football news blurbs to keep you informed and find this year's Puka Nacua, risk ratings so you know how risky the draft picks you're spending are, the truth series so you can see how their 2023 season went, or you can compare our rankings to Sleeper, to ESPN, to Underdog, to Yahoo, to NFL, whichever platform you're drafting on, we have you covered this year with our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. Right now, you can get our draft guide for free by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 and using code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com. Use the code FSE for a 7-day free trial, 30% off any of the packages, and all of that is linked in the description of all of our videos if you need the links for that. All right, let's roll the pod. What is up? We are back tackling Best Ball Mania 5 drafts number 20. And number 21 over on Underdog Fantasy. It's been a little bit since we've done a stream here. I think it's been a week or two probably. And now that we have, I believe, pretty much every team outside of the Falcons and I think one other team, veterans, rookies, everybody will be reported to training camp as of tomorrow, I believe. So we're going to have news flying fast and furious. This is the best time of the year, in my opinion, to draft Best Ball Mania teams, because once something comes out, the ADP, you can see it kind of live happen in the lobby that you're in. And of course, before we get into this draft, Spicy will enter us into one. We are doing this over on Underdog Fantasy. Again, if you guys want to join up, promo code FSE gets you 100% back up to 250 in bonus cash, and then also a special pick'em. And of course, we are running a special giveaway this summer. People who use our promo code, whether you've used it in years past or whether you've yet to use it, will have a chance to win two tickets to their favorite team. We'll buy you two tickets, basically, and you get to go see the Jaguars or the Cowboys or the Dolphins, whatever team you're a fan of. And yeah, and if you've already used our code, you're already entered into that giveaway, so you don't need to use it again. But if you want two chances to win it, I suppose you could get your significant other or your parents or your sister to enter the contest as well, and you'd have a chance to go with them as well. So Spicy, if you want to enter us into a Best Ball Mania 5, again, if you guys want to join the draft with us, there is waiting for seven people here. So all you have to do is go to the main lobby, go to Best Ball Mania 5 and enter the draft, and you should be in here ready to go with us. I'm sure we'll see Giga Chad in here pretty soon. He's always in these drafts.
Yeah, Giga Chad loves the drafts. That's where every stream we're in. Probably what, the last 5 to 7. I mean, dude, I still remember even when we went to Buffalo, I swear when I spammed like a ton of slow drafts, Giga Chad made it in like 40% of those rooms as well.
Giga Chad just, like, is just stalking us, clearly.
He's got like what's it called in Spider-Man? The Spidey tingling or whatever the fuck it's called?
The Spidey senses.
He's got the Spidey senses when we enter a best ball draft to join up in it.
yeah, for sure. Also, worth noting too, when you do sign up on Underdog, you do get our draft guide for free. You get things like last year's fantasy scoring, our overall tiered rankings here, risk ratings, home league ADP versus FSE. And a new feature that I added yesterday to the draft guide is I'm tracking fantasy news blurbs by team. And basically kind of as the summer goes along, we'll kind of start to see patterns. Like, for example, one of the patterns that I've seen so far is that the Denver Broncos beat reporters are all in pretty much unified agreement that this is not an all Javonte Williams backfield. This is Jaleel McLaughlin maybe, or Audric Estime. I mean, I don't put too much credence to the report that Javonte might not make the team, but I do put credence to the report that he's not guaranteed to be the workhorse running back, because nobody's saying that.
I think you outlined it perfectly and it made sense. Okay. When we, watched Audric Estime in the pre-draft cycle, we loved Audric Estime, and to be honest, he at this point is kind of like the anti-Javonte Williams. Javonte Williams, when he's healthy, is a tackle-breaking machine, a guy that can contribute in all three downs. What they needed is just simply a guy that can run the damn ball between the tackles, and sadly with Javonte, we saw last year, given the efficiency drop after the injury, he just was not that guy. So getting a guy like Audric Estime, again, I understand he ran a 4.740. I understand if people want to bait him for that, but what you shouldn't fade him for is his ability to run the football. And the reports, like you said, this offseason kind of give credence to that. Not to mention, again, I don't buy the report, oh, it's between Samaje Perine and Javonte Williams. It's like, just based off team investment alone, you would be taking the 24-year-old running back over the 29-year-old journeyman, not to mention, again, his role, Samaje Perine's role last year was as a third down back, as a guy that can contribute in the passing game. And quite frankly, you know, between Blake Watson, between, you know, Jaleel McLaughlin, between some of these other ancillary backs on the backfield, by the way, of course, we get the 106, between all of these other ancillary backs on the depth chart, they have other backs that can contribute in the passing game. And if you look at the complexion of that depth chart, outside of Javonte Williams and Audric Estime, name me their pure runners on that team. Because to be honest, Jaleel McLaughlin, we know, is a breakaway runner, but is he the type of guy that's going to handle 15 touches between the tackles on a week-to-week basis?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I do think could be in play is Javonte getting traded. Because if they're floating rumors that he's on the roster bubble, maybe teams start to call them.
Like a seventh for a sixth swap?
Yeah, like if the Cowboys, for example, wanted to send a seventh for a sixth swap for Javonte Williams, or I don't know, what name a team that could use an early down running back, that would make some sense to me. I think there's teams out there that could definitely use Javonte Williams. Maybe the Giants want to throw a dart throw at him or something like that.
The issue I have with, like, the Cowboys specifically with Javonte, like, just as a fan, like, obviously from a fantasy standpoint, he would have a lot of upside there. But as a fan, if the Broncos are selling Javonte, they probably don't feel good about him bouncing back to the pre-injury level.
He's probably still hurt or lost a step or something like that.
And that's the issue. It's like, if you're trading for him, you have to understand that they're trading him with some insider knowledge that maybe his injury is worse than expected.
Yeah, yeah, and for what it's worth, too, I think when you look at the whole landscape of the Broncos' backfield, Audric Estime isn't as slow as people think, too, because he ran a 4.58 at his pro day, and you could say, oh, it's a pro day 40.
He's a lot faster than 4.71.
Kyren Williams ran a 4.69 at his pro day after running a 4.7 at the combine, so it's a pretty easy St. Brown pick for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not to mention, I mean, St. Brown was doing it at 100, or St. Brown, fuck. Kyren was doing it at a buck 90, and Audric Estime, I understand, again, it was not ideal seeing that overall 40 time, but we're talking about a guy that's north of 220 pounds doing it. He weighed in what, 227 at the combine?
Yeah, and he looks like he's got some,
he's rocked up
when he plays too, just on film. Well, so yeah,
I'm glad you mentioned
Estime's my highest rostered running back right now. Like, I've drafted him like 30% of my teams.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned real quick with the overall like, he looks faster on film, because what I noticed, especially in the Ohio State game specifically, is that he was the best player on the field for a majority of that game when I was watching him against Ohio State. Not much running room to begin with, and this guy was consistently slashing out long gains. Like, Audric Estime is a damn good running back, so I'm excited for him to potentially get the work over there in Denver, not to mention Sean Payton. I mean, I'm not going to categorize him as, you know, Jamal Williams or Mark Ingram or, you know, anyone like that. But in terms of the overall mindset of playing the running back position, the grit that you bring to the position, the toughness, you know, Sean Payton has really relied upon that type of running back. And maybe that was the reason why he drafted Estime, because he didn't quite see that type of mentality with Javonte Williams post-injury.
Well, yeah, and when Javonte was healthy, he was like that more than anybody, really. Like, 100%. It's a shame. If Javonte does, like, end up getting cut or, like, move on from the Broncos, like, it should be a pretty clear signal that he might not be the same player anymore. But, I mean, if he does get back to full strength, he was a really good running back his rookie season in the first game or two before he tore his ACL.
I love the shirt, Danny. Makes you look like a bumblebee. Yeah, if you guys could not tell, we're drafting on Underdog, so I had to rep out the Underdog shirt right now. So shout out Underdog for sending this over. Got a nice big open Tommy Bahama style shirt. And if you guys haven't been paying attention, I've been wearing quite a few of those. So I had to ask for one. I'm like, dude, I saw the shirt. I wear these shirts so often. Not to mention, if you guys are unfamiliar, we will be going to Texas in August to record some content. I'm like, dude, I need one of these for the content pieces for sure.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be crucial to wear those. They sent mine and I'm like swimming in it. So it's going to be probably something I wear over like a t-shirt. I suppose I could be wearing it now because I'm wearing a white t-shirt, but okay. We're coming up pretty soon on the clock here. It looks like this is kind of a running back heavy room here. You don't see Gibbs and Taylor go with the high T start there for Born Loser there with a red badge too. Interesting.
Dan Snyder's hemorrhoids.
Yeah, that guy's box is unbelievably large. As
unbelievably long, Bart.
Yeah, long hugest Bart. Box I've ever seen. So Debo's ADP is really up ahead of Brandon Ayuk's now, eh?
Yeah. I mean, we're taking either of the Niners, right?
Yeah. I mean, Ayuk? I would prefer Ayuk, yeah.
Why did they swap ADPs? Probably with the news of Ayuk asking
for a trade.
You
want to go Ayuk here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine
with
it.
Yeah, give me Ayuk, man. There's no, like, I get that he's requesting a trade thing, but, like, they're not going to trade him. Like, this is, like, a non-news item. They're not going to trade him. There's no reason for them to do that.
Yeah, 100%. By the way, you can't ask for much of a better start from the six hole than a nice little Amon or Ayuk.
Yeah, no, that
it seems like a piss boy draft too.
It's looking pretty piss boy. It would be nice if we can hammer out one more wide out here, maybe in the mid third. Or we could take Laporta potentially, given that we have St. Brown, would make some sense. And then maybe grab our RB1 in the fourth or fifth.
In the mid third, I can't do Laporta in a best ball.
Yeah.
That would have to be if he falls back to the fourth.
I mean, when I have St. Brown, I'd be okay taking him 30 overall, but we're just kind of giga stacking the hell out of that game if we do that.
Yeah, for sure. Interesting. So we've seen what is that? Six running backs go off the board.
Yes. Yeah. Getting a Lamb Barkley is a nice little start for that guy there. We got to do motherfucking diligence in the chat there.
Amen, baby. Do motherfucking diligence.
If you guys have any questions, feel free to fire them in the chat. You got a lot of time on our hands right now while we wait for our next pick.
Big dog.
Go to the board, Spicy. I just kind of want to see what we're looking at in terms of players here. I'd be definitely fine with Achan, Metcalf, DJ, or Cup, probably. I would say those would be my options.
Those would be my top four. I haven't been getting a ton of DK overall, so it wouldn't be quite bad getting a share over on Spicy's account. Not to mention, we do have it's a small correlation, but a little bit of built-in factor that DK versus the 49ers two times in the year.
Yeah, yes. Okay, good. I wanted Metcalf. Let's go with Metcalf there. A little bit past ADP as well.
Would have loved Achan though. That was kind of fucking.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to fall back to us. So our next pick.
Waddle.
Laporta would be beautiful, but I don't think he's going to fall back to us. I'd be okay taking a deviation here for another tight end, though, if it's not Laporta, like if Kelsey falls to us. I think it's a smidge early for Andrews or Kincaid or those guys. I think I'd rather get those guys. I don't think I want to mid-fourth, to be honest.
Pacheco or ETN works, too.
Yeah, I'd be okay with a running back. I'm probably not. We have a lot of backdoor stacking options, so I'm probably not in the mood to take an early quarterback, unless Josh Allen fell to us, because then we could maybe grab Allen and Kincaid. On the way back, I'm not really down to do the Andrews Lamar, to be honest.
At the end of the day, putting ourselves in a good spot, taking three wide receivers off the rip feels ideal, especially given the fact that we should see some Orange getting absolutely busted down here. Especially, I mean, if the guy at the 11 spot doesn't take double wide receivers, he's going to fall so far behind the eight ball.
Yeah, I would be also down to attempt a hyper fragile wide receiver build. If we got a good wide receiver value here, and we could cut it off at six after the first eight or nine rounds, we could just end it at six or whatever, and then just stack up at running back, quarterback, and tight end.
The issue is that we would have to make sure the sticks we get are inside the curve, a la before the Jameson Williams point.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like if we got, let's say, I don't know, Christian Kirk or something fell back to us here, and then in round six or seven, we grabbed McConkey and Coleman or something. Like, I'd be okay rolling a six wide receiver build there, but we'd have to kind of wait and see how it shakes out for us. It's probably not ideal to run a build like that unless you're just in a total like wide receiver are gross type of room. And that's not really the room that we're in right now.
I will say I would prefer a couple of those running backs if they fall back to that 43 spot over Christian Kirk. Personally, like if ETN or Pacheco are there, I was thinking
like Higgins or Cooper or one of those guys more. So I just said Christian Kirk because I couldn't see his name there.
Fair.
Yeah. Do you want to go to the board, Spicy? I kind of want to see what we're looking at with this next pick.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, Laporta falls. He's an easy, easy smash here. Yeah,
Come on. Who's the Gibbs?
I think either tight end is an easy smash, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Laporta
does Dalmain have Gibbs, or did he just take the value? I mean, either way, it's a good pick, but
yeah, it's a good pick. I think
Guy with Gibbs not take Laporta then?
Fuck, dude. So, I mean, I have ETN higher than Pacheco, so he'd be the guy that I'd want to go with, but if you want to go Pacheco, I'm fine with it.
I'm the same. I'm the exact opposite. It's like I have Pacheco higher, but I would be fine capitulating. Ultimately,
let's pack the ETN bags a little bit then.
Fair. Yeah, I wish we saw which one we had more of going into the draft, but
I mean, I really, really wish we had a tight end that fell to us there. That would have been really nice.
Yeah.
That kind of sucks. I'm not going to lie. Because not only would, if Kelsey had fallen to us, that would have been great. Or, I mean, Laporta had fallen to us, that would have been great because then we just grabbed Jared Goff later and we're good for one of our quarterback slots. But man, we could have grabbed the Kelsey Mahomes in the mid fourth and fifth there, which just like, doesn't that just feel unfair that you're able to start a draft with St. Brown, Ayuk, and Metcalf and still get the Kelsey Mahomes? Like the Kelsey Mahomes stack used to cost a 2-3 turn pick.
I've seen drafts where it's costed a 1-2 turn pick.
Yeah, like last year, you had to take.
Was it not? It was a first second because.
Second last year?
Well, I mean, Mahomes is coming off of an MVP year. He had 41 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think you were taking the Kelsey Mahomes stack like 106, 206, or whatever, 207.
That's
like,
what
I think
I'm
that's
saying.
What you were I don't think you were getting Kelsey Mahomes like 108 and 308 or whatever. Like, I don't think you were getting it like that. I think you had to take Kelsey and Mahomes early.
I'm trying to remember now. I've seen multiple times the Kelsey Mahomes stack has been a 1-2 turn, so feels, you know, solid value here. Also, Vi Soga, he set up the week 17 Cowboys Eagles, and then I mean I guess you stack him with Hollywood Brown, but I'm curious there. Going with Mahomes.
I mean, I'd be totally cool to end here regardless of all.
Yeah.
I think I'm those kind of capitulating a little bit on Kincaid over Andrews lately.
I mean, the only issue is that if I'm going to make an uncorrelated
the decision easy for us.
Yeah, and we just saw before the draft, we have so much Josh Jacobs bag, so.
Don't want it. And I like, to me, this Jaden Reed, Chris Godwin, Calvin Ridley area is a range that I personally just don't want to draft them because I just think the tight ends, quarterbacks, and running backs project better in the same round.
Yeah, for sure. Like looking at the board here, I mean, realistically, again, I like some of those wide receivers, but I've noticed the difference between the round five and round six wide receivers compared to the difference between like the mid round six versus like the round seven wide receivers. Basically, the tipping point, if you go to the wide receiver position, Spicy. So we feel comfortable going all the way down to, I mean, go a little bit further down. Probably, I would say
JSN and
JSN
Addison,
now. JSN now, Addison, Coleman. Yeah, I mean, the line is between.
J-Mo's been the line. He's been the line the entire time for me. It's like once J-Mo is the best receiver on the board in ADP, I am not drafting a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Until probably at least the Josh Palmer, Mike Williams, Brandon Cooks area.
For what it's worth, by the way, if B-Tom comes back, we do have ETN and we could backdoor some Trevor.
Yeah, B-Tom would be nice. I would love, to me, as I talked about in the league winning quarterback video, I think that the play this year to really get the best value out of quarterback is to two stack a top 17, 18 option where you get like Goff Lawrence or in our case, Purdy.
I think you need one better anchor and then one of those other.
I don't think you do, man. I think those back end QB1, high end QB2s project better than they've ever have. And I think people are inclined
as a whole,
take a third quarterback with a build like that. That's why I think it could be like a skeleton key to unlock your team.
As a whole, yeah. But I will say, I do feel like the end of the range I'd want my quarterback one to be would probably be, I mean, you mentioned some of those round eight, round nine guys.
Murray,
like Dak,
Love, and Dak. Yeah, I mean, I think that's fine. But like, if you have them stacked up to me, I don't see any problem with grabbing Lawrence and Purdy here and being done at quarterback. Or Lawrence here and being done at quarterback.
The only issue I have is just the weekly ceiling because obviously inherently those guys that are going above have a higher weekly ceiling.
Right, but
ceiling. You're
getting a good weekly ceiling out of those players if the offenses that you bet on hit. And also, too, you have the flexibility because you're not taking quarterback until round 10 to 12 with those guys, you're going to have very good anchors at tight end, running back, and wide receiver already.
I mean, you will, but I just feel like at the end of the day, the weekly ceiling of those guys, like, I understand you can make the argument off
with the Josh Allen team. I get it.
That's the issue.
But having two really good options that can ping pong to me feels pretty good.
Oh, it's Titans versus Jags week 17, right? I wouldn't. We don't have a stack.
Okay. Do you want to go McConkey or Watson?
I don't have a lot of Watson.
Do you want to
Go Watson this time.
Yeah, let's get Watson.
We also
here.
Set up Love potentially. Not to mention, we do have the divisional correlation there, Green Bay and Detroit.
Yeah, and
I keep referencing this correlation. Like, I think I'm the only one that references divisional correlation.
Divisional correlation doesn't really
but
mean
like,
anything, in my
it's
opinion.
It's small, it's a minute detail, but no, I agree. But like, also, when you know a team or a division inherently is going to be higher scoring, a la the NFC North, and you know that you're going to get two matchups between teams, I don't think it's like just something that we shouldn't take consideration of. Obviously, again, it's a minute thing. You're getting one extra game, but at the same time, it's like when you're dealing with, you know, somebody that isn't versus somebody that is, it's a small little tiebreaker to play, right? So,
yeah, no, that's fair. And the week 17 game that they have in Minnesota is the dome game as well.
Oh yeah.
So I was going to say Thomas falling back to us would have been nice. I think I'd be okay taking Addison if he fell back as well.
We were playing the game there that one of those two wide receivers between B-Tom and JSN fell back.
Yeah, do you think it's too early for Addison?
I mean, I don't hate it here. We could...
I mean, Addison a lot, so maybe we should avoid taking him. We also could... We could take Montgomery because we have St. Brown.
That's not bad.
I think Montgomery makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, that's not bad. I think I'll sign off on that.
Coleman. Yeah, between Montgomery and Addison, I think I'm fine with either of those two options. I think they make
also, for what it's worth, it's more likely that Addison falls back to us, I would say.
I never take Montgomery, and I always take Addison. So let's rip Montgomery.
Yeah, I'm down.
Plus, I think there's like 18th round dart throw kind of guys that you could take swings on the Vikings too.
Yeah. Yeah. Najee in the seven.
So yeah, this board's shaken out pretty well for us. We got to catch up at wide receiver depth later on, but I don't know about you, but this is the way I like to build up my wide receiver cores, where I have, you know, four wide receivers through eight rounds, as opposed to like going six wide receivers through eight rounds. Cause to be honest, I just don't think that because the receivers are pushed up so much that they're the best projection six out of eight times. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like you're reaching for wide receivers at that point.
The issue that I have with four wide receivers through eight rounds, again, like typically you've wanted to be at that range, but the issue that I have this year specifically is, you know, inherently that if you're drafting four through the first eight rounds, given the complex, specifically this year for how we view the wide receiver pool between rounds eight to rounds 12, 13, if you're not drafting many receivers in the round 8 to 13 range and you only have four through the first eight rounds, you already know inherently that it's probably going to end up being an 8 or 9 build, versus if you have five wide receivers, you know you could pretty much cap it at 7 or 8. So you're pretty much shaving off an extra receiver spot in your ultimate structure.
I'm of the opinion that I would rather take more swings at wide receiver and avoid what I'm like kind of dubbing here as like the wide receiver dead zone, where Jameson Williams starts, where the projections of those guys to me don't seem all that different from Jalen Polk and Xavier Legette, who go five rounds later.
It would more so just be the decision point. For example, like in a lot of my drafts, I would end up with one running back in the first seven rounds. It's just because we have two in this draft. But again, like knowing that we have the Lions 49ers correlation, knowing that David Montgomery has a lot of touchdown equity in that Lions offense, it makes sense given the construct of our team. Also, the guy with the huge box drafting three straight backs, I love it.
Yeah, White, Brooks, and what was that? Jalen Warren. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. After starting his draft with just all wide receivers and Lamar Jackson there. Getting the Zay Lamar at the 3-4 is something you don't see very often.
We're seeing tight ends really be pushed up in this room, which feels good considering the fact that we already have Kincaid.
We caught it right at the end of the run too with Kincaid there.
Pitt's owner went also with Jake Ferguson. He better go with Dak here then, right?
Yeah, going Pitts and Ferguson's an interesting build. I actually don't hate that because Pitts is... Oh, he has Jalen Hurts. Going Pitts and Ferguson's interesting because it kind of makes sense, I guess, when you think about it. You're like, okay, you know what? Pitts is a little bit... Addison falling back would have been crazy.
That would have been insane. What is the board saying right now?
Okay, I think I'm cool going with an RB here.
Or Connor.
I think Connor is our best option.
Connor, and then
Yeah. I mean, Connor, we are getting past 12, ADP feels good, to be honest.
We're also getting 13 picks of Kyler. And if we miss out on Connor, we could always get Benson. That's another option. But
I'm honestly, man, I don't love Kyler enough to take him unstacked like that.
That's cool. Not to mention, we do have Christian Watson. So, like, worst case scenario, we could always build out like Goff plus.
We have a lot of quarterbacks.
Goff plus Love or Goff plus.
We have Goff that we can go Purdy. To. We have Ayuk that we can go to. We have Geno that we can go to. We have Love that we can go to. I mean, we have ETN, so we could even go to Lawrence just because we're betting on the offense and take Gabe Davis later or something.
Yeah. By the way we've built this running back core with three guys that have set workloads pretty much between ETN, Montgomery, and James Conner. Knowing now that this is probably going to, like, this is one of the few builds I would be comfortable if we take a running back within the first few, the next few rounds, just capping it at four.
This guy has got to be livid, by the way. That guy just timed out, auto picked Kyler Murray, one pick ahead of the Trey McBride owner right there.
I mean, to be fair, like, I got A Rich.
I mean, he did, but I would still have taken Kyler in his position, to be honest, knowing that he fell that far past ADP and I had McBride.
I agree, but to be fair, in your spot, you probably just wouldn't have taken A Rich.
Yeah, that's fair. But A-Rich also fell way past ADP too, so he kind of just had like a double whammy.
A unique build, yeah. No,
yeah, sense. Does he have Pittman?
I don't believe so, but we could check.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he kind of raw-dogged it.
Okay, so there goes Prescott. I would say we're maybe going to have to take Jordan Love if we want to take him with our next pick.
I think that would be the play.
I think Jordan Love's a good first quarterback to still have a 2QB build. Like a Jordan Love Purdy or a Jordan Love Goff would be nice, I think.
Order Taker is absolutely teed up right now.
Yeah, this guy just hammered dead zone RBs.
Yeah.
I mean, James Cook I don't view as a dead zone running back, but Kenneth Walker, Aaron Jones, and Zach.
Oh, nice. Clark, nice Josh Palmer, baby.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go through somebody I saw commented this on the Dynasty Lands video or somebody's video. And somebody said, can you go through the dead zone and talk about what backs are really good this year? And I was like, I think that's a good idea for a video. So you want to go to the board here, Spicy? Yep. Jordan Love. Pretty easy.
Yeah, man. You know what you could dub that as, by the way?
What?
Dead zone or bet zone. Basically, are they dead zone running backs? Or are they running backs you're betting on?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the dead zone is just, what is going on here? Do you just throw some random adjectives to start off? Flabbergasted. Stupefying's elite. I don't mind. That one's pretty solid.
Dumbfounding, gobsmacking.
Did I even throw a random? Oh, I put nutty, right? Yeah, I did throw a random adjective.
Which video did you throw nutty in?
This one. It just doesn't show on the StreamYard because I edited it in YouTube instead of on here.
Gotcha.
My league is expanding from 12 to 14 people. Thoughts on what I should change / expect Yahoo Home League. Pete, can you leave below what your actual like starting roster settings are? Because generally in a 14-team league, depth is more important. But if it's still like a 2 wide receiver, 2 running back, 1 flex, then I wouldn't say that. If that's the case, then you probably want to be heavier on the onesies potentially. Because if you hit big on an elite quarterback or on an elite tight end in a 14 teamer, if it's a shallow league, that's going to feel really good for you. But if it's like a 3 wide receiver, 2 flex, 2 running back, you know, that kind of league, then yes, depth type of players are going to be more valuable for sure. Like your Tyler Lockett's of the world, your Cortland Sutton's of the world are going to become a lot more useful in a league format like that.
This is a Dontavian Wicks team, by the way, right?
I mean, it could be. I actually, Maybe I'm the only person on planet Earth that believes this, but I actually vastly prefer Romeo Dobbs to Dontavian Wicks.
No. I get it, because especially in the early season, if you want points, Romeo Dobbs should get the overall snap advantage to Dontavian Wicks, like we saw at the end of last year. But it depends on who your other receivers are, because if I'm betting on upside, I'm taking Dontavian Wicks every single time, because he just flat out was way more efficient once he got the snaps. But if you needed the early season production, I don't hate the take of Romeo Dobbs. It's just, it's a sexless pick. At least with Dontavian Wicks.
I think it's a sexless pick as well, but I also don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Romeo Dobbs is actually the one guy in this receiving core that has the most secured role as an outside wide receiver. Like, I actually think it's more possible that Christian Watson and Dontavian Wicks are the ones splitting a role.
I think it's probably more likely that happens, to be honest.
Right. Like, so in this offense, I just want the routes, to be honest. I don't really care who's the best talent.
I mean, that's fair. I think
Love is a good enough quarterback that he's going to elevate these guys.
I think it was Matt Harmon that made the perfect encapsulation of how the Packers receiver core is. It's that you got like three young, exciting wide receivers and one almost just, not decoy X receiver, but more so like Romeo Dubs, like he's going to do the dirty work on the outside. He's going to
Corey Davis. You know,
exactly. I think that's the perfect comparison in the sense that he will command X wide receiver attention, but like he's not the type of guy that's make or breaking your offense. He's just going to command attention, which opens up the other guys to potentially, you know.
Well, that makes the decision easy for us.
Yeah. Wow. Also, Benson did fall back.
Yeah. Can I take a look really quick? I wouldn't mind capping up our quarterback build here. Spicy, can you go to the board? I want to see if the Laporta drafter is behind us right now. Like what side of the board is Laporta drafter on?
Yeah, he's on the other side.
Is he on the other side of the board?
Yeah.
Okay. He took Brandon Cooks. The JMO drafter, and so is the Gibbs drafter. So we should probably, if we want to take Goff, we should probably take him with our next pick, or otherwise he's probably not coming back.
Yeah, we definitely have to take him with our next pick, to be honest. Trevor Lawrence also goes here.
Yeah, Purdy's gone too. I mean, we still have Geno as a backdoor option, but do you feel comfortable with Love Geno? I feel better about Goff and Love personally.
Goff and Love is perfect too.
Yeah. Do we have that game stacked up already with Ayuk, St. Brown, and if we get Goff, that would be perfect.
Yeah.
Love, we don't have a bring back on Dontavian Wicks, Christian Watson, Jordan Love. We could grab Hawkinson as our second tight end if we want to.
If he falls back to the 12th, I think that's probably where we leave.
Who's the third receiver on Minnesota right now, realistically? I'm looking it up right now. I don't even know.
They lost KJ Osborne.
I'm literally looking it up because I don't actually know the answer.
It is Brandon Powell.
Okay, so the answer to that is there's no good third receiver on the team.
Garbage. Spicy, can you go to the board? And
yeah, this is pretty easily Jared Goff, I think.
Yeah. By the way, with your, sneak peek, if you guys haven't watched yesterday's video yet, with your stance on Kyren, you should be raising Blake Corum quite a bit.
Oh, I like Blake Corum. Yeah.
Good. All right.
There's two guys I need to get more bags of because of my stance on the starter, and Kyren Williams is one of them, and the other one is Khalil Herbert, because I am really starting to get worried about DeAndre Swift.
I've been stacking my bags on Khalil Herbert. And to be honest, I actually have a decent bit of DeAndre Swift in his own.
I got to stop pick. Sometimes I take Swift because he feels like kind of a comfy click. But then I got to remember that, like, I'm not certain he's going to be the full-fledged pass-catching back there, because I think that Roshan's going to work into that role. And we've now had two teams say that DeAndre Swift sucks on the goal line. So is Khalil Herbert going to take away some of those touches? Roshan's the biggest back there. Is he going to take away some of those touches? For me, I think Khalil Herbert might just be the best back in that backfield, which is why I think like in the 17th round where you're getting him, hell, he also could get traded or cut or something like that too. So for me with Herbert, I feel like he's a really easy click for me late in drafts. And I got to really stop taking Swift, because sometimes I just pick him because I'm like, oh, I don't like the receivers on the board here, I'll just take Swift. But I like the other running backs more, and I need to start taking more of, you know, Connor and Mostert and Zamir and Tajay and those guys. I just like them better than Swift.
What it comes down to for me is that I just view this backfield as kind of being mispriced, in the sense that like the RB1 going in round 8, the RB2 potentially going in what, round 16 is where Khalil Herbert goes, round 15, round 16. Like one of those is going to pay off at a good degree. And it's funny, because even if DeAndre Swift is the guy that pays off, if you just told me you're getting handcuffed contingent value with Khalil Herbert, I still think he's a fine pick in the 15th, 16th. But because there's a real possibility that this is a 60-40 situation, a 55-45 situation.
Okay, we're on the clock quickly. Do we want to grab Freiermuth to bring back for Metcalf?
The Hawkinson go?
I don't really want him because I already take him too much. I'm fine with Steelers Pat here.
Steelers don't play the Seahawks.
Oh, they don't. They play the Chiefs, right? Let's grab Legette then.
Yeah, Legette. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
But going back to what I was saying, right? I feel like at this point, even if Swift's the guy that pays off, you feel good about your Khalil Herbert pick in the 15th, 16th with the implied value if you miss time. But if there's the scenario where he's legitimately the 1B or possibly flat out wins the job, you're looking at a scenario where at the 15th, 16th ADP, an efficient running back in what should be a maybe not a top 10 projected offense, but I will say I feel comfortable both the Bears being a top
league average
15, 18 projected offense. And at that point, again, he was already showing efficiency in a bad offense last year. You plug Caleb Williams in, you plug ancillary pieces on the outside there. They're going to be a much more efficient running attack than what we saw last year.
Yeah. Yeah. The question, I think like we should also do a video like this where we go through ambiguous backfields because I think that would probably be smart. They're one of these backfields where I could really see a couple things playing out. One being that Swift is just like a 60-65% opportunity share guy and, you know, Khalil Herbert and Roshan mix in. But I could see the range of outcomes where like two of these guys are clearly the one and two and one of these guys doesn't get any touches whatsoever. I think right now, because there's three, we always get put in a bind as a fantasy community when there's three backs that are all capable. Because if it was just Swift and Herbert, I feel like Herbert's ADP would be all the way up with like Charbonnet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it should be. It should be.
But because Roshan is there, we don't know if Roshan's just the third string running back or if he's actually going to get work.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a fair way to view it. By the way, click on DeMario Douglas right quick. I want to see where his ADP is now. Just click on that. They take him at ADP. Okay, so a few picks ahead, but gonna tell you
either of these tight ends makes sense for our team.
Hawkinson.
You want to go Hawkinson
all day? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All day. I feel like he's gonna rise in ADP now with the news that his progress is going well. So getting a share now.
That's a good point. Yeah, he did. I have a lot of Hawkinson bags, so I'm a little worried about investing so heavily like I have, but. I mean, man, when you have...
We didn't have a bring back, though.
The best builds for Hawkinson are these. When you have an elite tight end already, Hawkinson makes sense. Because the reason he makes the most sense, you might be like, oh, well, like if you already have an elite tight end and Hawkinson, let's say, comes back in week 7 or whatever and starts producing like we know Hawkinson can, then aren't you not going to get the weeks that you need out of those two tight ends because they're cannibalizing each other in your tight end spot? Well, the reason that it makes sense is because in week 17... If Kincaid was the guy that Sun ran in week 15 and 16, he's going to be highly owned in week 17. And having a guy with an elite ceiling as your second tight end, like Hawkinson, is the way that you nut out that tournament, or vice versa. If Hawkinson's the guy that you needed and Kincaid is the one that gets you there.
Yeah. And the other way to view it is that you still have to advance out of your pool as well. There's 12 people in your pool. So if you're already getting your tight end points early and TJ Hawkinson ends up being a top 6 overall tight end from weeks 7 to 12, 8 to 12, you're also taking away that upside from other teams in this 12-team format. Because at the end of the day, you do have to advance out of your pool. And like you said, once you get to those advanced weeks, you can kind of play off of both options and potentially enter the finals with a unique combination. On top of that, we're not even outlining the fact that in high-scoring game environments, what if a two tight end lineup actually plays into your flex? Like, you'd never know.
Yeah, Hawkinson not to mention, like, touchdowns given, in that game. Given our team specifically, if Jordan Love, Dontavian Wicks, and Christian Watson go nuts, Hawkinson's on the as the bring back in the game. He could score two touchdowns in that game. And if Kincaid, you know, that that Bills and who are they playing? The Bills and Jets game doesn't like do anything. And Kincaid's a zero basically, or like has like 6 points in week 17, but he was crucial to you getting to week 17 because he went off week 15 and 16. That's how you sink all the Kincaid teams, like I said. So do we want to grab Jalen Wright? I feel like we haven't addressed the running back position much.
Yeah, I mean, we need probably...
We could take Ray Davis. Though. We have some correlation there with Kincaid.
I'm down for either.
Let's go Jalen Wright. I think Jalen Wright's... I mean, I'm sure this argument's been said a million times, but he's a dual contingent upside play where either Mostert or Achane can miss time and he could be a great option.
A guy who literally missed, what, 5 or 6 weeks last year, or actually even more, probably, what, 7 games last year?
I think he missed six games last year, and then Mostert prior to last year. Like, exactly. I remember, number one sleeper video, or the video that I did last year on my birthday was, who are my top 5 sleepers like I do every single year? Raheem Mostert, I think, was number 4 on that list, and everybody in the comments was, Raheem Mostert can't stay healthy. He'll never stay healthy. Well, he had like 20 touchdowns last year when he stayed healthy. It's like, we can't predict injuries unless it's like ACL tear stuff or whatever. So we might as well just hope the guy stays healthy.
By the way, I want to shout out. So I just said this earlier, right? DeMar Douglas goes 7 picks ahead of ADP, but I do see that 152 is ADP is in the 13th round. Did I not say like 2 months ago when he was a 17th round pick, he will end up going round 13 or higher?
Yeah, you did say that. P Pete also mentions that his league scoring is pretty shallow. So Pete, I would say in a 14 teamer, again, in that type of league format, I'm less likely to take huge risks on players because I want to hit on my picks. But also in that type of format where it is still a shallow starting lineup, you definitely want to win your onesies if you possibly can there.
Well, that's the thing. It's so funny because it's like in a 12 team start 9, 10, 11 redraft league, your depth at your running back, your wide receivers matter. Same thing, obviously, in a 14 team with a large lineup, your depth absolutely matters. I would even argue, though, in a 14 team shallow lineup league, that your onesies matter more than it would in an 8.
We're on the clock really quick. Do we want to take? I mean, I J.K. Dobbins is an easy click for me here. I actually really like Bateman. I also don't mind Roman Wilson to get some upside here. I think honestly Bateman's getting a lot of buzz, man. Like when I was putting in the news for the Ravens, they're just constantly talking him up.
I mean, did you not hear what John Harbaugh said yesterday?
He said he can be a top receiver in the league.
Yeah.
I don't believe that, but at a 15th round price tag, he doesn't need to be a top receiver in the league. He just needs to be a guy who gives us 4 or 5 spike weeks at that point.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there.
I think do you think we're done at wide receiver?
We have what, 7?
We have 7, yeah.
We'll play the running backs first, and if there's a potential wide receiver value we like there, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we're done at quarterback and tight end, which is nice.
Yeah. I mean, we have what, 3 picks left, so.
We can do a 2-6-8-2?
2-6-8-2. Yeah, I dig that.
2-6-8-2 makes sense, I think.
Yep.
Let's see if we can get some correlated running backs with our late picks here.
Marshawn Lloyd's already long gone.
See what else we got here. Jordan Davis, country singer that I saw in concert. What do you think about trading Brian Thomas Jr. for Addison and QJ in Dynasty? I think B-Tom and Addison were kind of a wash before the suspension. Now I would say just give me the tiebreaker of Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, the way I view it is you're getting a top 20 pick with no real off-field concerns versus a bust in his rookie season. I mean, straight up, Quentin Johnson had one of the worst.
About Addison for a second.
No. Straight up, Quentin Johnson had one of the worst rookie seasons we've ever seen. And
Quentin Johnson's on a fast track to getting ready to learn Terrace Marshall.
Guys losing snaps to DJ Chark already. I'm not convinced.
Yeah, no. Like if that was Addison in a 2, sure. But Quentin Johnson ain't worth shit.
So. You know what's hilarious about this, by the way? If you were to just take the names out of it and say, would you trade away the 2023 107 and 108 for the 2024 109 110. That's basically what it ends up being.
That's basically what
107 and 108
last offseason or whatever. That's basically what this would have been.
And man, that's actually crazy. To contextualize.
Lower than that, it would have been like my 112.
God, that's crazy.
Speaking of which, we are actually going to do an updated Dynasty Rookie Superflex tier list because we haven't done one since like a week after the draft. So for those of you guys, I know tons of you guys, like, I don't know, what do you think percentage-wise is the people that do their rookie drafts in the summer, Danny? I bet it's a higher percentage than you think because I've actually done a little bit of research on this.
35%.
It's like 50% almost.
Christ.
A lot of people are doing rookie drafts in the summertime, so I want to make sure that we have some updates to those rankings because some things have changed for sure since the NFL draft.
What specifically has changed for you in your rookie rankings, though?
Well, for starters, I had Xavier Worthy over Brock Bowers before, and I would probably take Bowers knowing how well he... I was skeptical that people were going to be automatically ready to throw him into the top 3 tier of Dynasty tight ends because of his landing spot, which is why I had Worthy higher before. I mean, I was also Benson over Brooks for a little bit, and I've seen the dynasty value of those two guys be vastly different. So that's why I'm switching back Brooks over Benson. Okay, what do we want to do here?
Running back, right?
Yeah. We don't have any
estimate.
Braylon Allen correlates with our Bills, with our Kincaid.
We can go Allen or Tracy.
I'm totally fine just taking estimate. He's the best player on the board right now.
Yeah, it feels gross because obviously it's a 13 pick, but A, once we're in round 16, that really doesn't matter at all. And B, if the buzz that we're hearing right now continues.
Estime is going to be a 14th rounder in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm fully convinced.
Well, that's the thing. So packing the bags now is a good spot to be.
Yeah, and like I already have, but I know however much Estime I've drafted so far, it won't be enough. You know what I mean? Like as much as I've already drafted Estime a shit ton, it's just, he's one of those guys that I'm just like still hammering. It's just like Gus Edwards last year when J.K. Dobbins tore his Achilles. I had like 30% Gus Edwards, and I was like, damn, I wasn't even taking him enough because I liked J.K. Dobbins last year, but I hammered Gus Edwards in every 18th round pick because he was just such an easy pick for me.
I mean, at the end of the day, the way we're looking at it right now, Audric Estime going in the 16th round, Javonte Williams is already falling in ADP. You already know, like you said, Audric Estime is going to be steamed up 2 to 3 rounds by the time we end up drafting in late August, to be honest. Like, once
if
we
he
come
has
back,
a real crack at the starting job, man, like he's right with Kendre Miller and Zach Charbonnet in round 30.
Easily. I mean, just looking at it straight up right now, who would you rather have, like, straight up? Like, right now, you have to make the decision, Kendre Miller or Audric Estime?
Right now, given what I've heard about Kendre Miller and like not knowing how to play football is what they're saying as a coaching staff. Like, Audric Estime hasn't even really been healthy and they're gassing him up. Like, dude, Ray Davis is going a round and a half, 2 rounds ahead of Audric Estime. I haven't heard a peep about Ray Davis being like a starter, a contributor, anything. It's like Estime, they get in front of a mic and they're glazing Audric Estime at every fucking turn.
Wait, sorry, I have to point this out. Since when is Ben Sinnott or Ben Sinnott, whatever, there's a guy that's
it's
been auto-correcting.
It's Sinnott. Stop saying Sinnott.
Ben Sinnott. Ben Sinnott.
Okay, we're back on the clock. I think Braylon's an easy pick here, to be honest, our correlation that we have.
Since when is he a 17th round pick?
He's just been, he's been steadily rising, I think.
No, I'm talking about Ben Sinnott.
Yeah,
he's going like 14th, 15th round. Yeah.
Oh, bro, right. I think it's because people are worried about the like reports that like he's going to play fullback or something. And like Zach Ertz and keep him off the field for like 8 games like he did with McBride last year.
Am I going to have to, dude, I already have 15.3% Ben Sinnott. Am I going to have to end up with like 25% if he's a 17th round
probably
pick?
Yeah. Like This is why in this range of the draft, I would just rather draft tight ends who I know have good roles. Like, I get Cade Otton is kind of a sexless pick, and like Chiga Conquo is a sexless pick, and probably even Juwan Johnson and Noah Fant are kind of sexless picks to some degree. I guess Fant has a little bit more upside than
he's
that.
He's pretty sexy.
But like taking shots on Jonnu Smith and Isaiah Likely and guys that could like legit be zeros the whole year, like they scare me a little bit.
I will combat it a little bit with Likely and Jonnu specifically. With Jonnu, I mean,
dude, Durham Smythe could run 60% of the routes this year and it wouldn't shock me one bit.
Very well, but at the opportunity cost, going for the athletic tight end on the most athletic offense in the league doesn't seem like a bad bet. And the
even
other
on
one
a limited was, role last year, he would have been a good best ball pick because he gave you some spike weeks, even with Pitts taking away as many snaps as he did in Atlanta.
And overall, I would agree that 16th does feel a little steep, knowing that
Likely we need to make a wide receiver pick here before we do anything.
Any correlation?
We could grab Javon Baker.
Khalif Raymond?
Yeah, Khalif Raymond's whatever.
I mean, Detroit.
Just sort by wide receiver, Spicy. I kind of want to do a... So, we hear me Goff. Out. I think OBJ is the best pick on the board and or Malik Washington, just a Dolphins third receiver. They've talked up Malik, like when I was doing the news, when I was tracking all the news, they talked about the need for getting a three wide receiver stability piece there, which is why they drafted Malik Washington and signed Odell Beckham Jr. So I'm cool with either one. If we want to go with the scroll to F down on Malik, or if we want to just take, apparently Mike McDaniels was like literally yelling at fucking Chris Greer to take Malik Washington for like 3 rounds straight in the NFL draft.
I mean, I like it, but at the same time, we have a lot of young upside on this team with Watson, Wicks, Leggett, and
Dayton. Yeah, okay, let's grab Beckham. He's got a solidified role to start. He also ran, when I did the video with Heath, he ran one of the coldest in the NFL over the last couple of years on deep targets, Odell Beckham Jr., so I could see him having, like, when you think of, okay, you're running the coldest in the NFL on deep targets, a pretty good remedy for that is playing for the Miami Dolphins, where you're going to run hotter than most receivers will in that offense, especially with Hill and Waddle around you.
Hey,
what are you saying?
No, I was just reading this
L
guy.
Content. Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah, I was looking at this guy. I'd be like, yeah, no, that's unfortunate for you because that comment's getting an L in his own right. See you later, buddy.
Tough. I mean, I'm not that sensitive. I would have left it there.
I gave him a timeout. He'll come back.
A little 5-minute timeout for being.
Think twice about that next time, buddy.
Theo Johnson and Tyrone Tracy late. Yeah, I'm like not a fan of Theo Johnson at all. He's on the NFI list. Like Daniel Bellinger and him at best are 50-50 splitting. And to be honest, I think Bellinger is definitely the one I would draft over Theo Johnson.
And by the way, you mentioned some last round dart throws. I mean, I can't not mention Jalen Tolbert in the sense that
Jalen Tolbert is not a dart throw. He's a light a pick on fire.
How? He's going to play three wide receiver sets.
I would much rather take Jalen Hyatt, Odell Beckham Jr., no. Malik Washington. Go back to the board, Spicy. I'll list as many players as you want me to list who I would take over Jalen. Javon Baker, Darius Slayton, Tez Walker. I would take all of those guys easily over Jalen Tolbert.
No. I mean,
Jalen Tolbert is just absolutely
you're getting a potential starter in three wide receiver sets for
he's not gonna start because he sucks. They're gonna if he's
who's gonna start then? Tell me who's gonna start. Tell me who's gonna start.
Michael Gallup was the third.
Michael Gallup was the third worst rated receiver in the league last year.
Yeah, and Jalen Tolbert was probably dead last.
Jalen Tolbert was better than him.
Oh, that's anyways.
Jalen Tolbert was better.
Jalen Tolbert is their third receiver going into the year. I'll bet you $20 right now they sign somebody.
We'll see. Maybe
I'm not betting on projected routes for a bad player.
In the 18th round, you're getting fucking wide receiver three routes for a top five.
He's not going to be wide receiver three. I'm telling you.
We'll see.
Anyways. We're gonna rip another one of these Best Ball Manias. Spicy is confirming to enter another one. As I talked about at the beginning of the video, again, if you guys are new to Underdog Fantasy, there's a ton of great rewards for signing up, including getting into this draft. I guess you won't get into this draft right now because we just got in, but you can do a lot of drafts right now. There's $5 drafts. There's $25 drafts. Whatever your budget is, head on over to Underdog, sign up with promo code FSE. And again, as I mentioned at the top of the video, we are sending one of our code users all time. You could have used our code last year, 2 years ago, whenever, or you could use our code now, and you'll have a chance to win two tickets to a game of your choosing to go see your favorite football team. We will purchase you two tickets, and that will be a ton of fun. And finally, we do not, and we have Giga Chad in here, but we do not have a 106 or a 105 here.
103, baby.
Yeah, just lock in a Tyreek share right here.
Yeah, all
right. I mean, I'm going to be semi-annoyed if we get McCaffrey at three, even though I should be happy about that.
Yeah, because like texture-wise, it's like, ooh, you're getting unique, but like also like
we have no Tyreek. Lamb or Tyreek.
We don't have Lamb either. I'm down for either.
We just get all my St. Brown and Jefferson bags are packed on this account, so I should just never draft them on my own account. All right, what else do we got in the comments section here? We got... Fletz telling me to check my text. I'll check them later. I think I saw you mention something about the Texas-Michigan game. I'm in a 14-team dino, Spicy says, in our backseat. Two wide receiver, two running back, two flex, one super flex, one quarterback, one tight end. It's pretty fun. You need depth, but having studs at every position, one except QB won me the league. Makes total sense there. McCaffrey does go 101. So we'll see what we're getting here at 103 between Lamb and Tyreek. I would be very much down for a Tyreek team, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down for either, but...
Well, Tyreek.
Yeah, I mean, cool with it. Big time cool with it.
Ethan says, any college football 25ers in here? Unfortunately, they don't make it for PC, and I'm not spending $700 on a PS5 just to play college football. So I have not played it yet.
You could be like me getting a Series X, but...
I refuse to use that shit console.
I mean, it's been serving me well. It's been serving me well. I have started playing. You guys are going to make fun of me because obviously like, oh, we got to take the most challenging team in our first dynasty because it's more fun. I get it. Like I will end up making a harder dynasty team to rebuild. But for me, every time I hop on a new sports game, the first thing I do, whether it's Madden Connected Franchise, whether it's NHL Franchise Mode, whether it's fucking insert game here. First thing I do is make a franchise / dynasty on my favorite team. So I did make a Michigan. I led them. Obviously, they won this year in real life. Big shout out, non-flex right there. Led them to two other separate national championships in a row. So we got the Michigan three-peat, and Danny Latzer, the coach, is looking like an all-time great.
Yeah, I guess it looks like you are. Laquon Treadwell. Is Laquon Treadwell on the Vikings roster right now? Don't they have like every bust in existence on their roster? Like, isn't N'Keal Harry playing tight end for them right now?
Yeah.
Or is that not the Vikings that I'm thinking of?
Bro, why does fucking Joe Burrow look like Eminem now?
N'Keal Harry is playing tight end for the Vikings right now.
What is going on with Slim Shady Burrow here, bro? Did you see this?
No, what happened?
Bro, what am I watching?
I love it. Absolutely love that.
Jesus.
55 touchdowns incoming.
Oh, God. Dude, I don't know. I think the flow was the magic behind his powers, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Would you rather hold Pierce or Herbert as RB depth at the end of the bench? In a redraft league or a dynasty league, I would say dynasty, redraft, whatever. I would rather have Pierce as depth, but if it's best ball or something like that, I would rather have Herbert because I think he can contribute spike weeks. But I think Pierce has a higher ceiling given that if Mixon went down or whatever, he would have a pretty good workload. How do you feel about Taysom Hill? Not great, to be honest. He's marked as a quarterback in a lot of platforms now, too.
Ayuk.
Do we want to just grab Ayuk because we took him already, or do we want to go a little bit different here?
We don't have any Barkley, which was why I kind of reacted like that. I'll take Ayuk. Yeah, let's go.
This is, I mean, when Ayuk discount is coming, I'm just going to take it. I know it's like I already have a lot of Ayuk, but I'm just not going to pass up on the Ayuk discount. I'll just be fat on my bags on him.
We need four fades here.
Yeah, we do. We do. He went the next pick. couple dynasty talks here. What's the best platform to do redraft mock drafts? I mean, this is, to be honest, because you are not doing a mock draft. You're doing a paid draft, so people actually take it seriously, and you know the ADP. Let's roll. Do you want to go Mikey here? Do you want to go?
I never really seen third round Mikey, so I mean, I'm cool with
it. Let's do Mike Evans here. Yeah,
Mikey.
It's kind of boring. We're doing the same structure we did last time in terms of a three wide receiver start, but feel pretty good about it knowing that how, like, I think who was it that wrote, I think Jacob Sanderson wrote a piece on this that on Underdog, the play is to take your wide receivers early, like first three picks.
So you're not left
the value on the running backs because people think, oh, I gotta, you know, keep taking wide receivers, but that's actually the mistake. It's like you already have wide receivers to fill out your great spots. Now take the running back at the or the other position's value while people are pushing up subpar, should be seventh and eighth round pick wide receivers to the fourth and the fifth round.
I've actually, funny you mentioned that. I had that conversation with Mason because we did a best ball debrief. If you guys are over on Flock Fantasy, we hopped on for about an hour, talked some best ball overall, like what we've noticed throughout our drafts, what ultimate strategy points we've been taking. And one of the things we both came into agreement of is that you can't just say, I'm not going to take wide receivers because then you're left with Jameson Williams in your starting lineup. That's what ends up happening if you just say early in your drafts, I'm not taking wide receivers. Structurally this year, because of the wide receiver landscape and because of how many decision points I would want to take a running back, tight end, and quarterback over a wide receiver really round four on, I almost feel like it's imperative you need 2+ wide receivers in the first 3 rounds this year. You do.
Yeah. No, I would love to start a draft with Bijan and Jonathan Taylor and have 2 swings at elite upside running backs. But the reality is, to make that work, you have to hit on this year's Tank Dell and Jaden Reed. You have to, and potentially Puka. Like, you literally can't not hit on players like that. And if you feel confident in your ability to hit on wide receivers, go nuts. But anybody who has a high ceiling goes high. Like, there's no secrets anymore. You can't get Xavier Worthy, Ladd McConkey at the 9-10 turn like you might have been able to 2 years ago.
Yeah, and even, like, for example, we were talking about some later profiles. Like, for example, if this was 2 years ago, where do you think Dontavian Wicks would be going in drafts right now?
Probably, like, the 18th round, 17th round. Like, he wouldn't be getting drafted.
He's a 10th round pick.
Yeah. No, it's pretty crazy. Like, the way that we're drafting is totally different. Again, one way that you can look at it if you want to is instead of like where Zamir White and all those guys are going, they'd be 5th, 6th, 7th rounders before. And the wide receivers that were going in the 8th, 9th, 10th round, they've just flipped basically. But instead of being like, oh, it's fine because I can just take those wide receivers and then take those other running backs where they go, why not take the value at the other positions in the 5th, 6th, 7th round instead of the wide receivers being pushed up? And then also take the running backs who are going lower than they normally would be. So that's how you like double dip on the discount. Cause yeah, again, like I said, it's very easy to just take Xavier Worthy, Keon Coleman, Brian Thomas round 5, 6, 7 and be like, oh, they'd be going round 7, 8, 9 before. But I'm just going to take the running backs that were going around 5, 6, 7 before. It's like, but those running backs that were going around 5, 6, 7 were bad picks. So take the better values on the other positions. That's where I like to deviate from my tight ends and my quarterbacks.
It would have been great if Pacheks fell. I mean, we got a couple of options here. I'm not too sure.
I mean, I'm not going to say no to T. Higgins falling to us here. Yeah, if he does.
Don't say it out loud.
Yeah. I mean, fantasy guru, I don't know if he's in this chat right now, but is Awesomeo not have a red badge?
I did not Guess even not. See that. Wow.
Fuck. And T. Higgins goes. I mean, I'd be fine with Kirk here. I'm still okay with him. But if you want to go in a different direction and take, like, we could grab Mahomes and then grab one of the receivers later on.
Or we could do Andrews and Lamar.
Yeah, I'm just a little bored of it. I'm just bored of Andrews Lamar. I think that's just what it is.
I think it's the play, though. Like,
It is. But I actually wouldn't have minded grabbing Mahomes and then grabbing Worthy on the way back. Well, but it's cool. I honestly just prefer Mahomes to Lamar this year. That's why I would.
I do too, but also it's like, with Kelce gone. I mean, I guess like you could say Hollywood.
We could have grabbed Mahomes Worthy and hoped that Rice fell back to us. He probably wouldn't have, but it's possible that he might have fallen back to us.
I don't mind that, but also it's like, it seems like such a nice default that, you got Lamar and Andrews on the 4-5 turn. It just seems like a rinse and repeat spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I want to start experimenting.
Especially with three wide receivers.
Yeah. I want to start experimenting. If I have like, let's say a mid pick, I would say probably like 107, 108 area. I want to start experimenting, reaching about 10 picks on Mahomes so that I can grab two Kansas City wide receivers. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like if I could reach about 5-10 picks on Mahomes and still get Worthy and Rice comfortably, or maybe still get Kelce and Worthy or something like that. It's really challenging to double stack Mahomes, I've noticed.
Yeah, it very much is. Also, Hollywood Brown did get sniped, so.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have wanted him anyway. I'd rather have Worthy.
I mean, we got the Lamar Andrews.
Yeah, I mean, this is the most unique stack of all time. Like every team ever starts it this way.
To be fair, how many of them have Hill Ayuk with Evans as a combo?
Yeah, Ayuk and Evans is a little bit more unique than, but it's pretty much every single time you see a Twitter screenshot. Oh, look at this five wide or this five through five rounds. Look how great my start is.
And it's always Tyreek Lamar Hill, Andrews in it.
Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams or Jalen Waddle, and
Devon Achane,
DK Metcalf or DJ Moore or something.
Devon Achane too. You sometimes you'll see the three Miami off the bat with the Lamar Andrews to like cocoon it.
Yeah, no, literally. Also, Carl, to answer your question for real, if you're not going to do mocks on Underdog, and again, I highly recommend you do because it's the best way to get ready for your drafts, do them on the platform that you're doing them on. Like if you are drafting on Sleeper, mock draft on Sleeper because you want to get a sense for the ADP on Sleeper, and also make sure to use our draft guides feature that shows you the ADP on those apps and compares our rankings to them. And also too, I'm not sure if Fantasy Pros still has this, but they used to have a feature where you could load in like ESPN's ADP to the Fantasy Pros draft simulator. So if they still have that feature, then they're definitely a good feature to use as well, rather than just straight up drafting on that platform. I'm surprised we made it this far without Cowboys wide receiver room talk.
Wow,
well, you got it.
Wait, the guy with the Kelce got the Mahomes fall.
He did.
Chad rips his Rasheed Rice from him. I love it.
Yeah, that is a pretty crazy. What did he start in the first round?
Let me see.
Breece Hall, Olave. I mean, the Derrick Henry fall was fine, but had he taken AJ or Garrett Wilson there, that would have been a lot better, I think.
Dude, his wide receiver is about to be urine, and he just got sniped on Rasheed.
Yeah, Rasheed falling back to him would have been mentally ill if he had gotten Kelce, Mahomes, and Rasheed at those values.
I love that from Giga Chad, by the way. What an alpha.
He's tone setting on him right there.
Amen. What is this double tight end and fucking what is going on here?
Oh my god, Giga Chad grabs Worthy too. Rip your freaking heart out, dude. I love that.
I love it. He's definitely doing that because we pointed it out. I love 100%. It. Oh my god, nah, dude. Muzio's fucking fuming right now.
Yeah. Best strategy, three wide receivers or one running back.
You ready for the Twitter post?
What's up?
You ready for the post on Twitter? It's just going to be like, of course, there's the one guy in your draft that just doesn't want to see you get any stacks. He's going to post a screenshot.
Yeah, getting Kelce, Mahomes, Worthy, or Rice would have been. I mean, Kelce, Mahomes, Rice, I don't think is rare because Rice was going lower at one point, but Kelce, Mahomes, Worthy would be pretty rare, I think.
For sure. Sorry, I cut that off. What was the comment?
Oh, we'll make our pick and then I'll get back to it here.
I mean, it's got to be
Rome. I mean, this is a primo Romo Odunze build, I think. Like, the types of teams that I want to take Odunze on are like these types of teams, but Odunze goes one pick ahead of us. I mean, I'd be okay going McConkey here.
Yeah.
I think he makes the most sense. I mean, B-Tom makes sense too. I'd be okay with either of them. I just like McConkey's projection way better, to be honest, than B-Tom's.
Also, I know he's buried down, but I'd like JSN as well.
Also, collecting the fantasy news for the draft guide feature where we have all the fantasy news in there, McConkey's been routinely getting steamed up by coaches, players, quarterback, everybody involved in the Chargers minicamp and OTAs and training camp so far has said that McConkey is going to be a dude pretty much.
If one of those two wide receivers fall, we're just ending off pretty much, not ending off the build, but like pretty much setting up. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, there goes B-Tom.
Every time we say something, they get sniped. Every time.
I don't take a lot of Alvin, but I actually don't mind him for this build.
Yeah, especially because we do need an anchor running back.
We need a guy who's going to get touches early in the season, and I think Kamara makes some sense there.
Hey, man, yo, tell him. I love it, Giga Chad. Chiefs double stack with Josh Allen, unique as fuck. Dude, that guy, that Muzio is freaking fuming. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Jared's comment was best strategy, three wide receivers or one running back, two wide receivers in best ball first three. I personally
depends on the spot.
It depends on the room, depends on the tier breaks you're talking about. But generally speaking, I think I like three wide receivers better in best ball because I know Pacheco and Etienne and those guys going around four and five. In a home league, I think it's better to go two wide receivers, one running back. Wherever you take your deviation, whether it's in round one, round two, or round three for the running back, I think it makes more sense in home leagues. But on underdog, I know I can get Pacheco and Etienne in round four and five, so I'm definitely much more likely to go three wide receiver.
Yeah, for sure. His team's cooking. Giga Chad's team is cooking.
It looks really good. Canal says, what's up, boys? Another year. Let's get it. Unfortunately, Giga Chad does not get Keon Coleman falling back to him, which would have been really nice with his Josh Allen team there. Crazy. On my keepers, Pollard, a sixth rounder, JMO an eighth. Who do I keep? Oh God. These are not good keepers, my friend.
Did you hear that, by the way, real quick? Spicy said that the third pick we just got is the earliest pick we've ever gotten in the 21st draft we've done.
That's crazy, man. We're running so cold on those. I would say of these keeper options, Canal, I think that Spears in the 11th is clearly the best option. Like yeah, Pollard in round six, I wouldn't even draft him that high. No, same with JMO like in round Spears. Eight. I wouldn't even draft him that high.
I like Spears in round 11. Also, Giga Chad completely freaking cooked Muzio after that. Holy Christ. This guy is actually checked. Because, dude, he has Kelce. He goes with Ferguson here. He's still got two wide receivers, I'm pretty sure.
And he's DeAndre Hopkins so and Chris Olave. He's ruining such a great start to his team.
I know.
Oh, Giga Chad's getting cucked now with the Curtis Samuel snipe there.
Arn, I saw it, and he's like, "Yeah, no, I'll raise you one." I'm kidding. It's not.
Get ready to learn Khalil Shakir, buddy.
Giga Chad.
For what it's worth, I actually think I prefer Khalil Shakir straight to Curtis Samuel.
I mean, 7-11 Curtis Samuel is just kind of gross.
It's gross. I wouldn't want to take Shakir this early, to be honest. If you have to take him here, if I were you, to be honest, dude, I actually am totally fine not keeping any of these players if you're allowed to in your keeper league. Like, I actually don't I think Spears in the 11th is maybe a round of ADP value, but I don't actually want to keep Pollard or JMO with those values. I would rather not draft them and not have a keeper than do that.
What's the ADP value he just got on CJ Stroud?
Probably quite wicked, I think.
Can you click it, Spicy?
Does he have Stroud? Someone? Does he have
Collins? No, he just took a falling Stroud. Stroud fell 17 picks past ADP.
Does he have Collins?
No, he's just getting unique. Oh, he's got Tank.
Oh, he's got
Tank. Wow. I didn't even see that. I honestly just thought he took the falling value, man.
Absolutely no strong. Tank Dell. I don't know about you, but I never draft him. He is overvalued, in my opinion.
I got to start taking more Tank Dell shots over Stephon Diggs because I had too much Stephon Diggs and not no Tank Dell. And I think
I personally think Diggs should be going around ahead of him. So I'm going
to
take Diggs.
But why though? Like, I would say they have just as likely of a bet to potentially pay off on that Z wide receiver number two role.
To me, that's just complete hopium from a guy who's been a superstar target earner his entire career. Even if he's fallen off a little bit, he's definitely a better target earner than Tank Dell is.
I get it. But I mean, I think we're discrediting just how good Tank Dell looked last year.
Tank Dell was solid, but it was a small sample size. He was a rookie. He wasn't really that good of a prospect coming
in. And B, not to mention, we're talking about the fact that in the long-term plans of the team, Tank Dell, Nico Collins are in it. Stephon Diggs is more likely a one-year play. I understand one-year play early on. Like, Stephon Diggs right now, I would say, is a better bet overall than Tank Dell. But in terms of the overall long-term, developing Tank Dell has more priority. So I do feel like if it's a 50-50 decision, Tank Dell would get the credence there.
I guess. You want to grab Mostert here? We have Tyreek. Makes sense.
Let's do it.
What do you like better?
We have Tyreek. Let's do it.
If there was a better option on the board, I would say that. But Mostert, to me, seemed like the best option on the board.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Feels kind of gross.
Hopefully we get something half interesting falling to us. But if Bowers falls, I think that would be a great second tight end to close off. It's a little bully tight end kind of, but I like Andrew Bowers. Seems interesting to me.
Yeah. So real quick, Houston, I literally don't have Tank Dell. I have 11.1% Stephon Diggs. So I want to kind
of
even
those. You don't have a share of Tank Dell.
I don't have a share.
Yeah. I have him like 2%. So
I need more either. I need more.
You don't need more. You need some.
Yeah.
You don't have any.
That's fair. It's kind of hard to say I need
you
more.
Grab Bowers here as the pick.
I mean, we have Andrews. We could close off our tight end build.
I think he's just the best player by far on the board. That's why I just want to pick him.
Yeah, I'm cool with it.
Like, who's better on the board right now? Like, there's no good players right now on the board. Yeah. Like, Lockett, Palmer, Shaheed. Like, are we really excited about those guys? Like, again, going back to the going with two elite tight ends in the week.
We need to smash wide receiver moving forward, though.
Oh, 100%. But to me, this is the wide receiver dead zone. And I think that the projections at quarterback, running back, and tight end are just better all around.
The issue, though, is having 4 through 9 rounds, we need at least one or two in this range, even though we don't want to. Because
I would like to take one stab in this range, maybe two if the value is good. But I'm just fine building an 8 wide receiver build if we have to.
Oh, this isn't an 8 wide receiver build. This is like a 9. 9 or 10, probably.
I don't know, dude. We got 4 really good options. There's no reason we would need to take 9.
Probably not 10, but I think,
dude,
9.
We don't need 9 receivers, dude. We have Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk, Mike Evans, and Ladd McConkey to anchor our receiver. We do not need 9 wide receivers.
That's fair. I don't know. It just feels gross.
This is an 8. This is total 8 receiver build to me. If you get 4 wide receivers through the first 6 rounds, you do not need more than 8 wide receivers.
Yeah, I think structurally, I probably would have liked one more.
If Evans and Ayuk miss, like, we're fucked anyway.
No, I think that's fair. I think structurally, I would have wanted one more, but unfortunately, we were kind of left in the range at the 8th round where, I mean, I guess you could argue Sutton, but, like, the projection is just realistically once.
Courtland Sutton that high.
Yeah.
I think the best case scenario would have been that Thomas had fallen to us in the 7th, and then we could have just hammered out running backs. But, like, we also only have Kamara and Mostert at running back. To me, that is much more of an issue than our wide receiver core.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably because we took the luxury of a second tight end.
Yeah. But like I said, Bowers in round 9 is just such an easy click to me. And like Andrews and Bowers ping ponging late in the season to me makes a lot of sense too.
No, it definitely makes sense. It's just we will have work to do at wide receiver.
Sure. But like, what if Lamar Andrews are the reason we get to week 17, but they're just chalk as hell week 17 once we get there? Like, Lamar and Andrews are just, they sun run week 15 and 16, and we need a high ceiling bet late in week 17 to get unique. And Bowers is a great way to do that.
Yeah,
and potentially our second quarterback, whoever that ends up being too.
For sure. So, I mean, we're getting at least one wide receiver on this turn.
I think Herbert makes a lot of sense as our second quarterback, by the way, too, with McConkey as a guy that we have. I mean, Purdy is probably gone. Actually, he's not gone.
Can we even allocate that type of capital to the quarterback position? Like, I think we got to go cheap at quarterback, too, knowing that.
I think Herbert is good at allocated capital. I think Purdy is probably too early, but Herbert, I think, is fine.
So Benson sticks out to me because we do have some early season. Getting Benson in the late season would be nice.
Benson or Spears would make a lot of sense.
What's the wide receiver board look like as well? Because I do probably need.
Yeah, Mitchell. There's tons of upside pieces that we can grab like in this range. There's all like the rookies and shit.
Judy and Mitchell. I mean, Yeah, I was gonna, never mind. He goes off the board here anyways. I was going to say, we also have Tyreek and Mostert. We could have considered Tua, but like, again, Tua.
I mean, I'd be fine taking Tua. It's just that
he just went.
Oh, he just went. Yeah, Purdy and Tua, to me, are just slightly too much capital to spend on quarterback. But Baker and Herbert, to me, are the two guys that we would be targeting at quarterback.
We're just left way too far behind at wide receiver, running back, if we allocate another quarterback or tight end pick here.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Mayfield playing the Panthers in week 17, so like he's
Spears and Benson, though.
Okay, do we want to grab, Corum? He's a good upside play here.
Let's take the receiver first, and let's wait to see what running back falls back. There's a couple guys I like.
Okay, let's grab Mitchell.
I would say AD or Judy.
Let's go Mitchell.
All right, I'll go with it.
Better pick for what we got.
Go with it. I'm starting to get a little bit higher on Judy.
I don't mind him where he's going right now. I think he's fine.
Javonte
or Chase Brown would be ideal falling back to us, I think.
Yeah, like I have a 13.9% Judy right now, so I'm slightly above market here.
Purdy at this value is really intriguing. I'm not gonna lie. He's 13 fixed fast ADP and we have Ayuk. I mean, we're gonna be building a 2-6-8-2 pretty much regardless, because if we have Purdy,
we only have to fade one guy, though, because the Kittle guy has two quarterbacks, right? Am I tripping? Check that spicy.
He's going to go. He's going to go before us if we don't take him. Yeah. He's just too good of a team. I'm okay going Purdy. I think we can land this plane if we go Purdy here.
Because we grabbed a receiver there and not a running back, I'm more willing. If we grabbed a running back the last turn, I would have said absolutely fucking not.
Let's do it, man. We got a 13 pick pass ADP stacked up with Ayuk. To me, that just makes a lot of sense. Plus, it opens up. We can grab Pearsall potentially with our next pick.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I feel very confident that Hill, Ayuk, and Evans are great anchors for us. Like, when you spend your first three picks on wide receivers, you got to feel confident that those guys are going to anchor you well. But we do really need to catch up at running back because we don't have anything
very much.
But like I said, if we're going to bet on chaos late in the draft, it's going to be at that position. All we have to get is like semi-lucky. Like maybe we got to grab one more early season Chuba Hubbard type or something. But for the most part, I think we should be good to just swing at running back because we have Kamara and Mostert hopefully to anchor us to start the year.
Hopefully we just see a ton of onesies go off the board.
Yeah, like in an ideal world, we don't spend four picks on onesies in the first 11 rounds, but I think the value was too good on Bowers and Purdy to pass up, in my opinion. Yeah.
And like adding to that again, if it was three running backs and four wide receivers, you just can't have four wide receivers through 11 rounds.
No, you can't.
So at least having the fifth gives some insurance there. Who are your highest drafted receivers, by the way?
Who are mine?
Yeah.
I know Troy Franklin's my highest. I'll take a look at my others.
Yeah. Like specifically like what about the early guys? Like the top, we'll just say top 50 wide receivers in ADP.
I think Malik Nabers is my highest drafted of the early guys. Let me take a look.
Malik Nabers.
Yep. So my highest drafted wide receivers are Troy Franklin, Malik Nabers, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Javon Baker, Jordan Addison, Xavier Legette, Ladd McConkey, Xavier Worthy, Cooper Kupp, Khalil Shakir. Those are my top 10. And those are all over 15%. The only guy over 20 is Franklin. Neighbors, JSN are 19.7.
Yeah, so out of the guys being selected in the top 50, because obviously, you know, DeMar Douglas is my one, 31.9% drafted. And that was mostly at depressed cost. So I feel good about that. Nico Collins. Guess what my share percentage is of Nico Collins?
21%.
25%.
Yeah, that to me is a smidge early on an early round receiver because I don't feel much different about Nico Collins.
A lot of it was when he was a late two, to be fair.
Yeah. I have Ayuk 14.5 and Evans 13.2 and Garrett Wilson 13.2. To me, that's about where I want to stay on those type of players. You know what I mean? I don't want to be that much higher on Ayuk than the rest of the guys going in that range.
I think that's fair. Amari Cooper, I have over 20% of. JSN, 22.2%. Both of them, 22.2%. Marvin Harrison Jr., I have 19.4% Marv.
Yeah, I actually surprisingly don't have that much Marvin. I never get picks there.
I'm getting cucked by late picks, dude. You know how many late
my highest rostered. Like, I'm pretty sure every single top pick I have over market. Like yeah, Jamar Chase, asshole. I have 9.2% Jamar Chase. I have 7% Lamb, so I'm a little low on him. McCaffrey, I have 12%.
Oh, you're making me
Tyreek, I have 9.2%. Jefferson, I have 8%. Amon-Ra, I have 9.2%. Bijan, I have 9.2%. And Breece, I have 9.2%. So I'm like, I'm just getting top eight picks constantly.
Yeah, you're disgusting.
Like,
right
other
now.
Than Garrett Wilson, I have none of those guys over market.
McCaffrey, I have
easy pick here.
Yep. McCaffrey, I have 4.2% of, right? Yeah.
Yep.
I have of CeeDee Lamb, my literal 101, a guy that I've taken 101 a couple times. I have at market at 8.3%, despite taking him at 101 at some points.
That's a tough scene. I even have AJ Brown at 8% too. Like, I guess I'm just never getting 11s and 12s. I'm getting Wilson and AJ a decent amount. I'm just never getting 111, 112, I suppose, because I have Puka Nacua on 2% of my teams.
I have a 12.1% Hill, 4.2% Jamar Chase, 6.9% Justin Jefferson. Amon-Ra.
Do you want
5.7 Amon-Ra?
Do you want Lloyd or Chandler here?
Whoever falls.
Yeah, I mean, but what if they both fall is what I'm saying.
Probably Lloyd.
I think I prefer Lloyd of the two of them.
No, knowing we have Kamara and Mostert, you probably want more upside there long, like throughout the season.
Yeah. I mean, I think Lloyd. Both of them are pretty similar. And
I would agree, but
I auto picks Lloyd, so I guess we're going Chandler.
Yeah, there we go. Not Kendra, that's for sure.
Yeah, so we got six wideouts, right? So I would like to tack on Bateman to this too, to our Lamar stack. So he's the seventh wideout that we can grab. I think we should probably spend our next two picks on running backs, to be honest.
Yeah, Giga Chad, exactly. Like, it's kind of funny because when he was going round 17, I swear I sounded like a madman. Like, every time we hopped on stream to draft one of these, I'm like, we have to take DeMario Douglas. Like, he's just so mispriced in round 17. So now seeing him go in round 13 and knowing I already stacked up my bags over 30% feels good, because I don't have to take too many round 13 DeMario Douglas, knowing that I got them all at cheaper depressed costs.
Yeah. Would you rather have Barkley, Henry, and Mixon, or Cook, Pacheco, and Elliott in Dynasty? Okay, let's break this down here. So you got
Pacheco versus
Barkley's
Barkley
a top
like a
six
wash.
Dynasty running back. Henry and Mixon are top 20 guys.
I view Pacheco and Barkley as a wash.
Yeah, and Cook to me is definitely better for Dynasty than Henry and Mixon. And Elliott's just whatever, but he's fine as a tack on. I guess it would depend on how deep your starting roster is, because Barkley, Henry, and Mixon, they're going to all be probably like top 15 running backs in fantasy this year. But Cook, Pacheco, and Elliott, I feel better about long-term. So A, how deep is your starting lineup? And B, how long is your winning window? Because if your winning window's longer, I'd like Cook and Pacheco side there.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there.
10-team, one quarterback dynasty. What could I get on top of Estime for Aaron Jones? 10-team, one quarterback. I'd want at least a second rounder, I think.
Okay, you should be able to get a two.
I'd say Estime and a two for Aaron Jones. I'd be cool selling.
Maybe a
Aaron
two for Jones three guy. Swap at the worst.
Yeah, I'd be cool selling Jones for a two in Estime.
Yeah. What if it's Aaron Jones plus a three for Estime and a two?
I wouldn't do that, no.
In a 10-team, one quarterback league, you wouldn't do that?
Aaron Jones plus a three for Estime and a two?
In a 10-team, one quarterback?
Yeah, I think I'd take the Estime side of that, probably slightly, but I'd rather just get the two straight. I didn't know Hollywood was the highest ADP of the Chiefs wide receivers. Yeah, it's kind of weird to me. I don't think he should be either.
Weird one for y'all. Let's hear the weird.
So my home dynasty league is doing a redraft based on our dynasty roster. We protect one player and slot them in at the sleeper redraft ADP. That's a weird format. That's cool, though. I have guys like Bijan, Tyreek, McBride, Saquon, Garrett Wilson. Who would you guys keep? I just want Hill. Only I mean, keeper league, maybe if it's like multiple years, I would rather have Bijan than Tyreek. But I think Tyreek, if it's just like a 1 year keeper, but if
yeah,
it's
how
like
long
two,
can you keep these guys?
2-3 year keeper, which I think is pretty standard Bijan. For most leagues. I think I'm taking Bijan there.
Yeah, I'd agree. God damn it, Perilla.
What the hell?
Asshole.
Okay, we'll take, you want to take Vidal here? Or do you want to go Davis?
I don't like either.
Let's go.
I think I'd rather go.
Let's go Ray Davis. I don't take him enough.
Yeah, let's do it.
We definitely need more running backs, I would say. That's annoying. Takes Rashad Bateman, six picks at ADP. Cool. Fine.
Yeah, let's see his dog shit team.
We might need to take a sexless wide receiver pick at some point, because we took like four straight rookies, I'm pretty sure. Like McConkey, Mitchell, Pearsall. We took like a bunch of rookies.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just
three straight rookies.
I'm dazed right now after that. Holy Christ.
Michael Wilson's a pretty sexless wide receiver. That would make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd also be fine doubling down on the stance that we just passed on Vidal for taking Dobbins here, but.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind it. I do kind of want to get a receiver here, though.
Do we have a second quarterback?
Yes.
Oh, we do. Right. Okay. I'm just making sure because I just sketched out for a second. We could take Bucky as well. I don't mind Bucky.
We have Evan already too.
I don't know. Do you have a lean here? I don't really have a take.
I kind of want to get a receiver so we can just backfill a running back.
Okay. Do you want to go? Do you want to go Mike Wilson or Troy Franklin or what?
Or Roman. Yeah, one of those three, I would say.
So we don't have any Rams. We don't have any Seahawks. We do have Broncos, do we? No, we don't. Okay, we don't have any correlation regardless. I just like Franklin the most. I think he's the best player. Yeah. I know we already have a bunch of rookies. We'll take a sexless wide receiver with our last pick, I guess. Because
yeah.
I mean, like,
we're closing Troy this off Franklin's date anyways. God, that was annoying.
What's up?
No, it's just so annoying. Like, Bateman doesn't fucking remotely fit his team.
I know. It's so annoying. We could take, I mean, I just said we should take a sexless wide receiver and not like a rookie again, but Tez Walker does fit our team.
Yeah. No, yeah, that would.
I mean, we just annoying. This is just Mike Evans, Brandon Ayuk, and Tyreek plus rookie wide receivers. This whole build, right? We have four straight rookie wide receivers since then. Hey, but
those,
I mean,
those are probably
this
a good
was a
trio
great
to
class.
Have. If you're gonna, yeah, that's probably a good trio to have. If that
and
happened.
If you did that last year, you probably would have had Rashee Rice, Jaden Reed, and Tank Dell at this range of the draft. So,
God, that was actually so annoying. I'm actually so checked after that. What the heck?
You're that pissed about losing Rashad Bateman?
Not really, but it's just like it's just annoying.
I think Tez Walker low key is like probably the better value at ADP, anyways. But Giga Chat is just playing with money.
Yeah, it seems cooking.
Yeah, why so low on Samuel? He's the only wide receiver on that team that can play outside and win against press. I mean, that's a bold statement, in my opinion. I think he's still a better slot receiver than he is on the outside, but. You're not totally wrong. I think that Curtis Samuel has probably the safest role there. I personally think Shakir right now today might be the best receiver on that team. Keon Coleman obviously is the highest ceiling of those guys, but I think he's a raw rookie and he might take some time to get going. Yeah. So for me, I think Curtis Samuel is just, he's probably the best bet of like to finish as
to
a wide receiver
or
four or better. But I think Shakir could be like a back end wide receiver too at his ceiling. And Coleman obviously has a higher ceiling than that, but I think Shakir could be a solid like 1,100 yards, 7 touchdown, Golden Tate kind of guy this year.
Yeah, I definitely do feel like that as well. He was very efficient on the stretch last year once he got the routes. I mean, heck, I do remember this specifically because I had him in my home redraft league paired in the Allen stack, and just noticing when he got the opportunity, he looked very good on it. The thing with Curtis Samuel that I keep coming back to with this Bills receiver core is that I feel safe in saying like the majority of the year he should be the wide receiver too, or the third target on the team potentially. But at the same time, it's like out of all the options, who has the most upside to be the number one on that team? I'd probably rank him fourth behind, of course, Shakir, Keon Coleman, and Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah. And like, dude, Shakir's quietly averaged 15.9 yards per reception in his career. Like he's been really efficient on his targets and having 611 yards and 2 touchdowns doesn't sound like a lot, but when you were buried on the depth chart for the first 2 seasons of your career as a day 3 pick, and once you started running routes, this is what happened. 73% of the routes was the first time he had it in week 8 against Tampa Bay. 6 targets, 4 targets, again, 2 targets, 4 targets, but he's getting yards. Like he had 92 yards, 57 yards, 115 yards, 47 yards, 105 yards. Like he was getting yards once he started commanding routes, and that's obviously what we want as a fantasy player. Like he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 top 24 weeks in the last 10 weeks of the season. Like he was like pretty good.
Yeah. Dobbins falling back would be lovely. Knock on wood.
I'm in a puppy right now and just reached on Mahomes to get the Hollywood worthy past ADP. Thanks to the idea. True.
Yeah.
Pop has gone from, he went up in ADP big time. How do we feel about JSN in Dynasty this year? A lot of people down on him. I've definitely come around on JSN this year. I really think that, he's got a better chance to have a pretty big season. I think that Dobbins would be awesome if he falls here, but we'll see what happens.
I thought Perillo was about to auto pick Dobbins on us. I was going to lose it.
Jalen McMillan goes perfect. McMillan actually would have really fit our team for the rookie theme and the Evans correlation there, but whatever. Let's go Dobbins. This is pretty thin at running back. I'm not going to lie. I don't feel great about this running back core, but we got some upside. We're going to have to take one more guy. I think we're in a position that we don't have the luxury of Tracy being a zero, because he really could be, I think.
So then who is a non-zero at
CEH or Estime or Pierce?
You could convince
me. We have the Lamar Andrews stack. Pierce is a run back to that game.
Let's go the wide receiver first and see if Pierce falls back.
Sure. Do we want our sexless pick here? Because Tyler Boyd's as sexless as it gets.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's go with the sexless receiver.
Go Tez Walker, though, if we want to just go for the correlation.
Yeah, no. Let's get the sexless. Yeah, Jalen Tolbert, big dog nose ball.
Tyler Boyd is our sexless backfill of wide receiver talent right there.
God, we just got to pray that these running backs actually slip.
Yeah, I think between CEH, Estime, and Damian Pierce, I feel pretty good about all of those guys being our last running back selection.
The boys are going back and forth in the chat about whether Barkley or Hurts gets more affected this year based on the other's presence in the goal line.
Oh, really? The Chiefs are giving Kadarius Toney running back snaps. And you think Pacheco... I mean, Kadarius Toney, like, flat out is terrible at football. Don't care if they're giving him quarterback snaps.
Dude, they're giving Kadarius Toney running back snaps because outside of Pacheco, that running back depth chart is urine.
Yeah.
That's like, why.
And for what it's worth, like, Saquon versus Pacheco in redraft is not a wash. I would definitely prefer Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, but it's dynasty, bro.
Saquon versus Pacheco in dynasty is a 3-year age difference. And Pacheco has 2 more years on his rookie deal still.
Yeah, also worth noting, like you said, it's a 3-year age difference. And it's between a guy that I have ranked in the mid-second in redraft versus a guy I have ranked in the early third of redraft. So, yeah, I prefer Barkley in redraft. But also, when it's that close Pacheco of a gap and you're getting 3 years.
What if Pacheco has a great year this year and the Chiefs give him a 3-year, $36 million deal like Ramondre Stevenson just got or whatever. Yeah. And Pacheco is suddenly tethered to Patrick Mahomes for another 3 years. How much higher does he go in dynasty than he's going right now? To me, I think Pacheco is going to have a great year. And if he has a great year, he might get extended.
Yeah. If he's efficient.
The running back price tag has gotten to a point now that it's actually reasonable to pay them. It's not like they're asking for $18 million a year like they used to be doing.
Yeah, facts.
Especially for a 7th-round pick, Pacheco doesn't make that much money. Like, he might be motivated to just get a 3-year, $36 million deal after this year. Bargain says 10-team, 1-quarterback PPR. I traded Olave in the 110 for the 103 in Rashad White. Okay, so essentially you got Odunze probably and Rashad White for Olave in the 110. I mean, 110 is probably like, if you're lucky, Keon Coleman or Trey Benson, I would say, in a 1-quarterback league.
It's probably fair value, I would say.
I think I actually slightly prefer the Olave side here, if I'm being 100% honest.
Well, I would,
because I think Olave over Odunze is like about a 2nd-rounder better, like Olave versus Odunze.
I think they're a wash in your
opinion, but I slightly prefer Olave. I've gotten higher on Olave in redraft. That's why I'm a little bit higher on him in dynasty now.
Odunze ranked straight up higher. So like a 2nd is kind of wild. No, okay. They're 11 and 12 respectively. I have Olave at 11, Odunze at 12. I'm not like, if you're telling me I can get a 2nd for transitioning off of either.
That's fair. But like the 110 for Rashad White in a 1-quarterback league, like, do you want 110 or Rashad White? Like, I think I slightly prefer 110 there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'd probably take the Olave in the 110 side, but I think it's a fair deal.
It's probably a fair deal. Yeah. Also, Tush Push, like, I get it. It threatens Saquon, but like realistically, they had no running back that could run on the goal line last year. So they're probably not going to fucking do the
Damian Pierce
a million times.
Damian Pierce. Okay.
Let's go Damian Pierce here.
I feel okay. I think we landed the plane after two running backs.
Eaton actually would have made a lot of sense for our team too, but I didn't want to get more zeros at running back early in the season.
That's not what we need at this point, actually.
I actually really like this team. I know it's on shaky ground at running back, but that's kind of the teams that you want to build. When you're going zero RB, you just want to be like, dude, if this team gives me some contributors, like if Joe Mixon misses seven games midseason, like this team's gonna thump. And like to bet on injury prone running backs too, like if you think about the players that have to go down ahead of our players, like Aaron Jones and Joe Mixon, that seems like pretty good bets to make that they would go down.
Yeah, for sure.
Dobbins is also, and Mostert are on our team who are both injury prone as fuck, but whatever.
I just can't tell if I'm a contender right now or not. I had an offer for either quarterback flat out for David Montgomery / Ramondre and Micah Parsons.
I mean, I don't play IDP, but I imagine Micah Parsons is quite a valuable player.
Yeah, he does seem like quite a valuable player in my opinion. If the Cowboys sign Michael Thomas tomorrow, where would he fall on your redraft rankings?
That'd be such a funny signing.
I don't know if he can move at this point.
I know what would happen for sure is I would never spend a draft pick ever on Jalen Tolbert. That's the only effect that would come out of that. Jalen Tolbert would never see the light of day on a roster that I have.
I mean, we're not going to sign Michael Thomas. I don't even know if Michael Thomas can move at this point. Is this foot?
I don't even know if Michael Thomas would sign Michael Thomas at this point.
Didn't his foot like explode?
Like, yeah. I mean, Danny, do you want to rip another? I mean, I think Spicy might have to go. Spicy, do you have time to do a third or do you have to go? Just give me a thumbs down if you don't have time. Okay. Yeah, that's
all good.
That's
all
totally
good.
Cool.
I can tell this guy is battling demons right now. He is sick as a dog. Yeah, no,
yeah,
he is
battling demons. Okay, we will not do a third draft, but appreciate you, Spicy, for he said I'm falling asleep. Yeah, he's
no,
dead.
You're good, bro. You're good.
He's sick and didn't get any sleep last night, so we're gonna give Spicy a break here. Again, those of you guys that tuned in, really appreciate you. We'll answer a couple more questions and then we'll get out of here. But again, sign up on Underdog. Totally worth it because you get all these benefits of drafting these teams, understanding where players should be going in the sharpest draft rooms, and also you'll get our redraft guide totally for free and a chance to win two tickets to a game of your choosing to go see your favorite football team. And look at the prizes you can win in these tournaments, man. 15 million in prizes for Best Ball Mania 5, 1 million prize pool in the Eliminator, and in the Marathon, a $2 million prize pool. In the Sprint, a $1 million prize pool. Again, use promo code FSE to sign up over there. And then, of course, we got Spicy in the backseat here. And of course, like I said, make sure to check out Flock Fantasy, which we didn't bring up yet so far in this video. But if you already have an Underdog account or if you can't play Underdog where you live, you can go to Underdog or to flockfantasy.com and also get our redraft guides, our dynasty guides, our rankings, weekly rankings when we get into in-season content, everything under the sun, team reviews. If you sign up annually with a Mother Flocker tier subscription, Danny's trying to find himself in here. And again, these are the states that Underdog is available in. If you live in Canada, like me and Danny live in Canada, it is available in every state other than Ontario, unfortunately. But yeah, appreciate you guys for joining us. We will have, I believe, league winning running backs tomorrow, updated Dynasty Superflex rankings for rookie drafts on Thursday. And then I think we're going to be running a Dynasty Decisions on Friday. So that's going to be the rest of the week's content schedule. And then we'll have some cool stuff planned for the weekend. I have a couple cool ideas written down there. So with that being said, like the video if you enjoyed. Really appreciate likes on the stream. Subscribe if you're new around here. Peace out, and we'll talk to you soon.